All right. I want to wrap up this morning. We've been talking about the island of misfit toys. And like I said, it's, you know, as I think about it, honestly, I think the Rudolph show has become more about the misfit toys than really Rudolph. It's a curious little piece of trivia. If you've ever seen it, if you've ever watched the Rudolph cartoons, again, it's not really a cartoon. I don't know what animation, I guess you'd call that. One of the things in the original version, when it first came out, was the misfit toys were really just kind of a passing thing. They were shown for a moment, and then they never went back there. They never dealt with it. And the public, there was an outcry to the producers and to the writers and to the network. You know, what happened to the misfit toys? What happened to the misfit toys? And so they had to go back in and rewrite the story and add a whole section dealing with the question of what happened to the misfit toys. And if you're not familiar with how the story goes, you may know the song, but, you know, the song's only about 3 minutes long, and they had 30 minutes to fill in a television show, so they had to add a few details to it to make it last long enough to run a bunch of commercials. And so if you remember the story, the song is close. Rudolph is born, and he's got that shiny red nose, and his parents try to cover it up, and they actually put a little cover over his nose. But eventually, the news gets out that Rudolph has got a shiny nose. And at the same time, there is an elf working in the workshop that hates making toys. And Hermie wants to be a dentist, he says. And so anyway, to make a long story short, they decide, they run away. Hermie and Rudolph run off. As they run off, they eventually end up on the island of misfit toys, where we first meet that group of toys, the water gun that shoots jelly, the dolly for Sue, the jack-in-the-box named Charlie, a bird that can't fly, it only swims, a boat that doesn't float, it sinks, interesting group of toys that no one loved, no little boy or girl wanted, they're just an island of misfit toys. Well, while they're there, Rudolph finally grows up and decides, I can't run from the truth, I'm going to go home. He goes home, only to find out that his mother and father and the little girl reindeer that he's kind of got the hots for have run off to find him. They've gone off to look for it. Well, she does. I mean, that's just, you know, I don't know what else you want to call it. I don't know what you call it when reindeers fall in love. So, you know, I'm just going to say he had the hots for her, okay? She evidently had the hots for him because she went hunting him. They go hunting Rudolph. And they end up all being caught by Bumble, the great big monster snowman. Eventually, they end up back home after the dentist pulls all the snowman's teeth. You know, I don't know who writes this stuff. I didn't write it. I'm just reporting it, okay? Anyway, they end up back home. And Santa gets the story, the news that a huge storm is coming. And he's making the announcement that they're going to have to cancel Christmas. There's just no way he can deliver toys in this huge storm. And while he's trying to make the announcement, Rudolph is standing there, and his nose is blinding Santa Claus. And he finally, Santa Claus has this moment of revelation where he realizes that Rudolph's the answer. And so, you know, the story, Rudolph, will you guide my sleigh tonight? And so, and kind of the rest of it is musical history. But the part that's not in the song is that when Rudolph was on the island of misfit toys, he promises that he will bring Santa, that he will do something to help the misfit toys. And so we had this scene of Santa Claus and the reindeer flying off into the night sky, which is where, again, the story originally ended. And then we have this the add-on piece at the end where the misfit toys are all sitting around. They're crying because they think, once again, they have been left out. And about that time, they see Rudolph's nose, and Santa comes, lands on the island of misfit toys, loads up all the misfit toys, promises to find them a home, and off they go. So it doesn't need to be a 30-minute show. I just did it in less time than it takes to sing the song. I think the reason that that whole thing resonates with us so well is that we can identify with the misfit toys. You and I think that was the reason that so many people wrote in and said, hey, what about the misfit toys? It really, I think, struck a chord with people that we can't leave those misfit toys on that island by themselves. Somebody has to do something about the misfits. And I think most of us can identify with that, because I think most of us in some way kind of, in our own unique and special way, we all sort of feel like misfits. We feel like, I just don't quite fit in. Maybe it's, the way I talk. Maybe it's the way I look. Maybe it's I'm not as smart as they are. Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you're a lot smarter than the people you hang around with. Or maybe you're way better looking than the people you hang around with. But for whatever reason, I think all of us, for various reasons, we just feel like, I don't fit in. And when I think about that story, and I've already talked about the shepherds once, and I kind of want to kind of weave them back into the story a little bit this morning. It's kind of hard to pull out any one part of this story and not bring everybody into the pool, because it's hard to talk about the shepherds and not bring up the wise men. Hard to talk about the wise men and not talk about the angels. And so they're all part of this story. But it's harder to think of a bigger group of misfits that have ever existed than the shepherds. They were society's misfits. They were about as far out in left field as you could possibly go. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They weren't respected. They weren't appreciated. They were considered, again, just outcasts, not good for anything but being shepherds. That was the opinion of society. In fact, if you would have went into town and said, listen, I need to make an important announcement. Who do I make it to? Who should I tell it to? They would have said the king, the governor, the priest, the guy down the street, anybody. They would have never mentioned the shepherds. They were just so far off of society's radar that when the angels appear out there in the field that night, when they appear and begin to announce it, I'll tell you this, there was no one any more surprised than the shepherds. There was no one any more shocked than the shepherds. A lot like those misfit toys sitting there that night crying, thinking they'd been left behind. The shepherds were sitting out there in that field thinking, once again, no one cares about us. Nobody knows us. Nobody would care if we fell off the earth. And yet, here come the angels appearing to the shepherds. And this morning, I want to challenge us. I want to encourage us. We've got 4 days, and let me do a little math here. 4 days, 12 hours, and about 45 minutes to Christmas. That's, so if you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, tick tock, okay? 4 days, 12 hours, and 45 minutes to Christmas. In the next 4 days, 12 hours, 45 minutes, you and I are going to have a lot of opportunity, a lot of times, and we're going to come across a lot of society's misfits. We're going to come across those who that in their heart, they may not really be misfits, but they're feeling like misfits. They feel left behind. They feel left out. They feel like no one loves them. No one cares. No one wants anything to do about them. And we've got 4 days, 12 hours, and 44 minutes to tell them Jesus loves them. We've got 4 days, 12 hours, and 44 minutes to tell them, like the angels told those shepherds that night, unto you this day is born a child. Peace be unto you. We've got a great season here. People at this time of year are more accepting, more receptive to hear about the gospel than they are at any time of the year. However, we have to get over some of the same hurdles that the people had to get over in dealing with the shepherds. We look around us, and we look and let's just face it. We are the sociology word for it is we are homogenous. In other words, that's the word they use to describe the way humans are. We like people like us. That's what we like. It's again, we have even taken, there's the upper class, the middle class, and the lower class. We've even taken and the sociologists have taken and divided that into the upper class, middle upper class, and divided the three classes into nine classes. And so there's actually nine classes. And generally speaking, people will move up two classes, down one class. That if you're middle class, you'll associate with upper middle class and lower upper class. But other than that, and then lower middle class, but that's about as far as generally speaking most of our acquaintances will come from. We like people like us. That's just the way we are. We like people that look like us, act like us, talk like us. That's just how we are. And you know, it's the same. It's not an American thing. It's an anywhere you go thing. I can tell you, after spending 3 weeks in China and being slightly larger than the average Chinese person, they will look at you funny when you walk down the street, especially if you're a rather large white American guy carrying one of their Chinese babies. They will look at you real funny. You get a lot of attention that way. And that's just the way we are. That's just how we work. We're like animals. We run in packs. But I want you to know that this coming week, especially this week, I want you to remember several things. That when we look around and we think about that angel's announcement to the shepherd, much like the misfit toys, the first thing we think about those shepherds when I look at them is they were an unlikely group. When the angels appeared in the sky and said to this group, "Behold, unto you this day is born in the city of David a child, a Savior," no one was more surprised. No one was more shocked than those shepherds. They were like, they're talking to us? Yeah, they must be talking to the sheep, because they're sure. Nobody talks to us. Nobody deals with us. Nobody cares about us. They were looking over their shoulder for someone else. But they were the most unlikely of candidates. Again, about the only more unlikely group would have been the lepers. And if you know anything about lepers and leprosy, leprosy is the kind of disease that eventually you stand there one day and your arm falls off. I mean, it eats you. Your body, and it is highly contagious. And they were about the only group that was less appreciated than the shepherds. And yet the angels appeared to the unlikely. I want to challenge you this week. Now, I want to challenge you to look around and think for a moment about the unlikely. We look around, and you're going to come into contact this week with some people who are not like you. You're going to come into contact with cashiers. You're going to come into contact with waiters and waitresses and people in the stores and people on the streets that ordinarily you and I we may not would give the time of day. Let's just be honest. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ came to earth for the unlikely. He came to earth for the most unlikely. I was at a Christmas lunch this week, and when the waitress came and brought all the food. It was really strange. Just give you an example of how you can do this. As we were gathering and brought the food, the waitress set it down, and we stopped her. And one of the people said, "Listen, we're getting ready to pray over our food. We're getting ready to pray for our food. Is there anything that we can pray for you about this Christmas season?" And that young lady, it was like somebody that, I don't think I could have took a ball bat and just right between the eyes and her being any more stunned that somebody asked her that question. And the thought came through my mind as I stood there, and she kind of, when people kind of get, she's kind of, peddling around there a little bit and kind of fidgeting. She didn't really know what to say. And you could tell that in her heart she was feeling like a misfit, just to be honest with you. I'm just a waitress. I can almost hear her mind. Why would they pray for me? And she finally, she said, well, my children. Well, what are your children's names? And got her names. And then began to pray for her children. And it was amazing to watch the look on her face. You're going to see somebody this week, and it may be something as simple as saying, "Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you?" One of the most moving things I've ever read, I used this years ago at Christmas Eve. There was a man who laid on the streets in London. and he was homeless and had the look, and had, you know, everybody knew he was homeless, and everybody knew he was poor, and all they knew was that as he laid on the streets, they could tell he was saying something, but they didn't know what, and they couldn't understand him. Finally, somebody took and put down a recorder beside him, began to record what he was saying. And as they recorded, and then they took it back, and through the miracle of science and computers and all that stuff, they took and they take out all the background noise, and they cleaned it up to the point where they could understand what this man was saying. And this man was laying on the streets, homeless, broken, and hungry, repeatedly singing about Jesus. Not where you'd expect to hear about Jesus. Listen, we've kind of got in our mind where we expect to see Jesus. Let me tell you how I know. I hear us make statements like, well, we've built churches. There's churches everywhere. Why don't they go to church? Why don't we go to them? Why don't we go to them? I love what Tommy had. I don't know, it may still be out there. I hadn't even looked what Tommy had on the sign this week. We talk about let's put Christ in Christmas. Let's put Christ in Christian. Let's act like Christ. These shepherds were unlikely. Some of you are sitting here this morning thinking, well, I'm a misfit. I don't fit in. Some of you, you're sitting here in this church service today thinking, you know, I don't know the songs they sang. I don't, you know, I couldn't find Luke when he said turn to Luke. I don't know what they're talking about. Listen, all you really need to know and all you really need to hear this morning is what the angels said to those shepherds. Behold, a child is born, a Savior is born. Jesus loves you. You know, I think about some of you remember Corey Carter. I think about Corey and his testimony. Corey says that he'll tell you that he got saved one Sunday because Archie's father was leading the music and they sang Jesus Loves Me. And in the middle of that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. God gripped his heart and reminded him and convicted him. And in the middle of that song came a child song, a song that we don't sing in the big church. That's what they sing in children's church. But in the middle of that song, it gripped him that God loved him. Listen, you and I this week need to understand there are no bigger misfits than you and I. There are no, you understand that once upon a time you were that misfit. Once upon a time you were that train with square wheels. Once upon a time you were that water gun that shoots jelly. Once upon a time you were that bird that couldn't fly, you could only swim. Once upon a time you were a boat that couldn't float, and yet God loved you. Listen, these shepherds were unlikely. They were unworthy. There was nothing that about them. There was nothing that earned them that announcement. There was nothing about them that said, go out and announce it. Again, they would have been the last people in line. If they would have been lining up to hear the news, if society would have been choosing, the shepherds would have been last. They were unlikely. They were an unworthy group. They were a group that no one else would have chosen. Listen, it amazes me as I look around and I think about sometimes as I look and, you know, I think I've shared with you before. It's, you know, it's one of those things I don't guess I'll ever forget because, you know, it kind of hit me between the eyes a little bit, when, Junior Hill says that God only calls the ugliest and the dumbest to preach. You know, I kind of resemble that remark. Yeah. Listen, we're unworthy. We're unlikely. Listen, all around us this week, you know what? Hey, let me remind you of something. Let me take this in a completely different direction for just a moment. Many times when we think of those that are unworthy and unlikely, we immediately go and we think of the guy that's homeless. We think of, we have all kinds of stereotypical images in our mind. You know, the gang member, the drug addict, the unworthy, the unlikely. Can I remind you, can I point out to you that maybe this morning, the unworthy, the unlikely, might be your own son or grandson? Might be your own daughter or granddaughter? You know, we get so caught up in Christmas, and Santa Claus, and candy canes, and Rudolph, and trees, and stockings, and parades, and candy, and all that other stuff that sometimes we even in the church overlook Jesus. We're so caught up in wanting our kids and our grandkids to have a good Christmas. And we have in our mind this picture of what a good Christmas is. That I wonder, have we ever sat down with our kids, our grandkids, our nieces, our nephews? And when I say our kids, listen, they don't have to be little. Might be your grown kids. Might be your adult children who need to be reminded and need to be asked, do you know Jesus? You know, one of the things I think about is, and let me just tell you how grateful I am this week. The folks from the DSS came and gathered up all the stuff. I mean, all the stuff. Two van loads. I mean, packed and stacked. That you and River Rock and Eva Drive and Gethsemane brought in for the adult wards of the state and for the children. You were also part, many of you brought toys for helping, I forgot the number now, it's like 170, I think, children that were able to get toys or parents who were able to get toys for their children through the sharing house. You're close to setting a record in the Lottie Moon offering for our missionaries overseas. Wouldn't it be horrible to one day get to heaven and have some little boy or some little girl come walking up and say, "You don't know me"? You know, all we get for those kids were those tags with some initials on them. "You don't know me, but I'm KM. I'm that 9-year-old little boy. You don't know me. But because of your gift, I came to know Jesus." Wouldn't it be horrible one day to be standing in heaven and have somebody come up and say, "You didn't know my name. You didn't even know my initials. All you knew was that I was a 6 to 9-year-old boy and you filled up an Operation Christmas Child box and it landed in my lap in India. I can't even pronounce the name of where we were packing boxes for. I forgot now where our boxes went the night we were there. You don't even know me. You never heard my name. You never saw me. But you packed the box, and because of that box, I know Jesus Christ." Wouldn't it be horrible to end up in heaven and be standing there and have somebody from some foreign country come up and say, "You don't know me. You didn't know me. You never knew my name. But because of your gift to Lottie Moon, a missionary on the field in some country you and I have never heard of was able to share the gospel with me. And because of that, I know Jesus Christ." Wouldn't it be horrible to have that happen and look around and your own children and grandchildren not be there? See, we think sometimes of the unlikely as the shepherds and the lepers and the homeless and the hungry, and the gang members, and the motorcycle clubs, and drug addicts, and pimps, and prostitutes, and pornographers. I want to tell you something. The unlikely are sitting on church pews all over America this morning. The unlikely will ring you up at the grocery store this week. The unlikely will take your credit card at the Walmart this week. The unlikely will be standing at the door when you walk in the mall this week. The unlikely will be the one that you walk by casually and speak or don't speak to as you walk through the parking lot. The unlikely will come to your house for Christmas. The unworthy will come running in your house and say, "Mama, what's for supper?" The unlikely will come running into your house and go, "Uncle George, Uncle Fred, how you doing?" Listen. You and I need to be like those angels. We need to be like Rudolph. We need to be getting the misfit toys into contact with the one that can help them. Amen. We need to be bringing them into contact. Listen, we look around and, you know, again, I don't know how we define a great Christmas. Can I tell you what a great Christmas would be? A great Christmas would be one with no barbecue and no turkey and no cranberry sauce, no deviled eggs, no cake, no pie, but a family member, a son, a daughter that accepted Jesus Christ. That'd be a great Christmas. Be a great Christmas if there were no presents under the tree, but I was guaranteed that my children, my grandchildren, my family, my friends knew Jesus. Listen, everywhere we look, there are people who in our minds sometimes are misfits. But worse, there are some who we look at and don't realize they're misfits. I think about the toy we started. You remember the dolly named Sue? You remember Dolly? Dolly had all her fingers, all her toes, pretty little ponytails. Said, "I'll even sing a song for you." But the producers tell us that she was, why was she there? She looked normal. The producers say that the reason that Dolly was on the island of misfit toys was because that inside she was broken. She represented all those who inside were hurt, all those who inside are lonely, all those who inside are discouraged and depressed. Folks, everywhere we look, there are misfits needing Jesus. There's some of you sitting here on these pews this morning. You say, I know there's misfits everywhere because I am one. I am one. Or on the outside I fit in. On the outside, I look like pretty much, you know, when I stand up here and I look around this room, I see a lot of red, I see a lot of Christmas outfits, I see pretty much, again, a homogenous group. We pretty much all, you know, look the same, act the same, talk the same. But inside, do we know Jesus? Inside, we're feeling like a misfit. Inside, we're hurting. You know, one of the things yesterday that struck me, I was standing back, and as they were setting up for their service out there, they've made a big point. It's going to be evangelistic, and they were talking to me about different things they were going to do and how they were going to do it, and just very apologetic, very. Is it okay if we set up a nativity scene? Well, duh, you said you were having Christmas, I'm assuming. Yeah, those kind of things. They're asking every little thing. And one of the things that, as I was standing there, and I was just there kind of showing them where the chairs and tables and things were so they could get set up, they brought some children in. And I know I'm about to go somewhere that's probably not politically correct, but, you know, if after almost 21 years you hadn't heard me go there, it's about time because I go there pretty regular. But one of the things that struck me as I was standing there just watching them was they took the children over and they put them in the costumes for the nativity scene. And I got to be honest with you, folks. I just never had thought about a Filipino shepherd. I never had really given much thought to a Filipino Mary. You know, never had thought much about a Filipino Joseph. But I was standing there as they put on their costumes and kind of started getting ready for their presentation and thinking, you know, even Filipinos need Jesus. And I stood there and was just overwhelmed with the thought that Filipinos, Japanese, Chinese, Asian, African, Hispanic, North Carolinians, Cabarrus Countyans, Rowan Countyans. Jesus loves us all. He doesn't care whether you're a Filipino or not. He doesn't care if you're an American or not. The Bible says that Jesus was sent to this world for whosoever believeth in Him. I want to skip ahead just a minute. I'm going to skip part of my outline. I want to skip down, but well, you don't have it anyway. I forgot. I didn't get it to Carol in time, so I can do what I want to. And you'll never know the difference if I'll just stand here and not tell you, but I've already told you. I want you to see something. If you look at the end of this, I want you to see what happens to those shepherds because they met Jesus. They've got a new peace. The Bible says that the angel said to those shepherds, peace. Peace. Have you heard the word peace lately? Only if you've turned on the news. Only if you've picked up the newspaper. Everybody's looking for peace. We want peace in the Middle East. We want peace between Syria and Russia. We want peace between ISIS and Russia. We want peace between America and Russia. We want peace between America and Iran. We want peace between Israel and Iran. We want peace between the races. We want peace. We want peace between us and the parties. We want we want peace. You know, all we talk about is peace. We've been talking about peace for 50 years. Peace has come to the point where peace has become such a demand that all you got to do is this, right? How long is that? You know, what does that mean? What is that the sign for? I don't know. It's been around what? Since the 60s? You know, we've been walking around like this, and it's kind of curling up and about to fall over. You know, we want peace. Can I tell you something? It won't be peace when the Syrians and the Russians, or the Turkey and the Russians, or the Iranians and the Israelites, or the Iraqis and the Iranians, or the Iraqis and the Israelites, or the red and the white, or the black and the white, or the black and the yellow, when they make nice with each other. That won't be peace. Because you know what will happen if Russia and Turkey make up? Turkey will end up mad at somebody else. You know what will happen if somehow, some way, we find racial peace in America? We'll just end up mad at somebody else. The only true peace is in Jesus Christ. Shepherds, He came to bring you peace. And those shepherds knew what it was like to not have peace. They laid their heads down at night every evening. They sat out in that field every night knowing what it was like to be rejected, knowing what it was like to be despised, knowing what it was like to not be loved, knowing what it was like to be exiled and outcast of society. And yet, here was the angel of God saying, peace, peace. This morning, there's some of you sitting here right here. Right now, you don't have to go down the street. We don't have to go to the store. We don't have to go to the homeless shelter. Some of you this morning inside, you are torn up. You are messed up. You're hurting. You're lonely. You know something's missing. Can I tell you this morning, the only place you'll find relief is in Jesus Christ. The shepherd said, I come and you might have peace. That's what he says. Peace. They have a new peace. They have a new profession. Look what it says about them. It says that they go out and they spread the word. They go out and they spread abroad the saying. Listen, I want to tell you something. There is something desperately, desperately wrong with somebody who knows the peace of God and doesn't spread it abroad. Something is desperately wrong. If you're here this morning, and you'd say, you know what? There is no doubt in my mind. I know Christmas isn't about a tree. I know it isn't about lights. I know it isn't about gifts. I know it isn't about Santa Claus or Rudolph. I know it isn't about any of those things. I know that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that. I am saved, no doubt, no question. If that is the case, and you're not spreading abroad the news. I want to remind you something. If you read this story, look how it goes. Look real careful at this story. If you look at it, you'll look at it real close, you'll find out, what are they spreading abroad? They haven't even, as I read it, they haven't even been to the manger yet. They haven't even seen Jesus. They're spreading abroad just what they heard. They haven't even seen Him yet. In a moment, we'll look at the passage that tells us what happens once they actually see Jesus. Listen, when we have that peace in us, when we actually see Jesus, when we actually know Christ, then there's something in us that says, I've got to tell it. There's not only a new possession and profession, there's a new possession. Look what it says. It says they went out telling it abroad. They went out praising God for all the things He had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, one of the things that is kind of, I guess, I don't know how to learn it. I guess it's just embedded in the kids. I guess it's just something that, it's like the color of their hair and their eyes. It's just something that, you don't have to have them, you don't have to teach them this. What'd you get for Christmas? What'd you get for Christmas? You know, listen. You know, most kids I've seen, you know, that's the first thing they do. As soon as they open their stuff, they're on the phone telling grandma, telling cousin, telling somebody what they got for Christmas. You know, it's just something we want to do. Listen, if you know Christ, and you're not telling somebody, something's wrong. But let me ask you this question. Is it not just possible that if you're not telling somebody, maybe you don't know Him? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe this morning you need to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The shepherds show us that even the most unworthy, even the most unlikely, were recipients of the good news. Some of you are sitting here this morning, you're thinking, but I don't deserve it. I'm rotten, I'm mean, I've done this, I've got to clean up, I've got to change my life, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No. The angels appeared to that field and the shepherds didn't tell them, hey boys, take a bath, I got something I want to tell you. Hey boys, put on your suits and ties, I got an important message for you. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you knock on my door, you get me pretty much as I am. Okay? Listen, that's the way the angels appeared to these shepherds. Just as they were. You know that old song, "Just As I Am"? This morning, God wants you just like you are. He loves you just like you are. Young people, let me tell you something. If you start dating a young boy, a young girl, and she tells you, you got to change, you got to do this before if you tell them they got to change, you need to find somebody else, move on. God says, I love you just like you are. I love you just like you are. You're here this morning, you don't know Christ. Today is the day of salvation. You need to come. The greatest gift. You won't get anything this Christmas or any other Christmas, anything like Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to bow your heads for one moment. You know, there's several groups of people sitting here this morning. There's some of you who are sitting here who would say, you know, I know beyond any doubt I'm a Christian. No question whatsoever, no doubt in my mind. I know, as the old saying goes. This morning, I want to challenge you. 4 days, 12 hours, and a few minutes, and it'll be Christmas. Right where you sit this morning, I want to ask you just to say, Lord, show me somebody's face. Let me hear a name. God, show me somebody that I need to talk to this week. Show me somebody that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Show me somebody that needs to be encouraged. Show me somebody, this Lord, that's feeling like a misfit. It may be somebody who's lost who needs to hear the gospel. It may be a Christian who's down on their luck, who's having a hard time, who's going through a rough spot in their life. But God, show me somebody so I can speak peace to them. Somebody that ordinarily I might think of as unlikely. It might be one of my own children, one of my grandchildren, my neighbors. God, show me that face. Give me that name. There are others of you here who are sitting here and you say, I am that Christian. I'm feeling misfit. I'm feeling down and out. And I need the Lord to lift me up and encourage me. But most important, there's some of you sitting here today who don't know Jesus Christ. You're sitting there thinking, I'm unworthy. I don't deserve Jesus Christ. I got to clean up. I got to straighten up. The beauty of this message is the angels went to the shepherds in the field, tending their flock just as they were. The message went to the wise men just as they were. Went to Mary just as she was. Didn't say, Mary, you've got to change a thing. You've got to do anything other than be obedient. Joseph, you don't have to change anything. You don't have to do anything. Just like you are, I love you. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You need to come. Let me show you from God's Word. Let us show you how you can be saved, how you can know Jesus Christ. Are you unlikely? Yes. Are you unworthy? Yes. God loves you anyway. He sent His Son to die for you. Christians need to come and kneel and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I know I'm unworthy. I know what I was, but you loved me enough to die for me. I just want to thank you. You need to come in that name, that face that God laid on your heart. You need to come and say, Lord, in these 4 days leading up to Christmas, between now and the new year, while people's hearts are open, while their minds are on Christmas and on things of the church and on the Christmas story, God, give me an opportunity. Give me a chance to be an encouragement to a misfit as we stand together.